SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
There's a lot of fear in the air about coronavirus and all these what ifs. Everybody's wondering, what if this happens? What if this happens? How am I going to feel if this happens? What if? What if? What if? Well, the reality is a lot of things are already shut down. The reality is a lot of the decisions are already being made for us. And I'm Scott Harrell on SOS Radio and talking to my friend John Brock. And he's the pastor of Tawas New Hope Church. And John, you had coronavirus and you bounced back. How crazy was that?
Hey, my brother. It's great to talk to you, Scott. I want to thank you and what everybody else at SOS is doing. You're awesome. And you're really helping this panic and time of unprecedented fear with the love and hope and joy of God. So thank you for your message. Thank you for what you guys are doing every day. And for those who are supporting SOS Radio, I really want to say thank you to you because you are helping people like never before. But yeah, I got it unexpectedly, kind of the front cutting edge of all of this. And, you know, there's joy in the midst of it. There's hope in the midst of it. And I'm just delighted to tell the story. So thank you, my friend.
So you were actually traveling overseas. Were you in France?
I was. I'd been invited to a Christian radio station there. There are not many in France. So again, I look at what SOS is doing and go, wow, let's not take it for granted. There's a wonderful station there. It's called Far FM, P-H-A-R-E, in that French. And I speak very little French, means light. And so they had asked me to just come for a couple of days to encourage their staff, to help them maybe just with some ideas on fundraising. And I'd been invited by the station manager and the pastor there. This pastor pastors a church of about 2,400 people, one of the largest churches in all of France. So the last week of February, we were invited. We left Detroit on a Tuesday night, flew all night. I had to take a train ride up to the northeast side of France in this wonderful town called Mulhouse. And the person that was supposed to meet me is the head of fundraising, and she was sick. I didn't think anything of it. And again, this is the end of February. It's a lot different than what it is right now in March. And so my wife, Heidi, is the queen of the hand sanitizer. We took all the precautions. We had hand sanitizer pretty much wherever we went. Our flight over there, we each had our own row. There's hardly anybody on the plane. So we distanced ourselves from trains, made sure we used that hand sanitizer. And when that lady was sick, I didn't think anything of it. The station manager met me. My wife and I just had a couple of hours to relax. And then we had two pretty busy days of meetings. As it turned out, all 16 employees of that radio station, every one of them ended up testing positive for the coronavirus.
Oh, no.
Of course, I didn't know it at the time. So yeah, we had meetings. And then on the last day, the pastor, who turns out has never been tested, but looks like that's kind of where I got it, because we kept our distance. We did the fist bump thing, didn't sit close to people, all of that. And he hugged me goodbye. And he said he wasn't feeling well. And I said, well, we'll just take an Uber to the airport. He goes, no, I insist. And we hugged goodbye. I didn't think anything of it. But it was about 48 hours later that I ended up getting my first symptom.
And so did it come on just like boom, like a truck? Or was it something just kind of like, okay, kind of starting slow. My appetite's not quite the same. Things aren't tasting the same. Kind of getting a little bit of congestion or.
The truck is a great word. We had spent the day at the Louvre on Saturday, something my wife wanted to do. I mean, we knew it was serious, but we didn't know how serious it was. On that Sunday, we flew to the UK because I had a ministry event for the week. And that Saturday was the last day the Louvre has been open. And when we found out the next day they closed it, I was like, oh, this is probably serious. And I will tell you, it was almost 48 hours to the minute. I felt like a truck hit me, and I was just so tired. I didn't get cold. I didn't cough. My fever spiked a little that night, but that was just for a very short time. But Scott, I got so tired. I went to bed at 5:30 in the afternoon. I said, honey, I'm going to take a little nap. And I didn't wake up till the next morning at 5:30. And as it turned out to be my only symptom for the week, she had to leave the next day. She ended up getting an upper respiratory infection, but praise God, she did not test positive. I was there that remaining week. And other than being tired and no appetite, which that's really unusual for me, I had no other symptoms until I got back to Detroit. And that's when it got really ugly, man.
So when you break down the symptoms, I mean, does this feel like strep throat? Does this feel more like the flu?
You know, it did. I ended up, when I flew back to Detroit on that following Saturday, so this would have been like, you know, 6 days, 7 days into my symptoms, as it turned out, looking back for symptoms. Again, I just felt tired. But when it hit, about Sunday afternoon, I got really super cold. It was out in the Florida sunshine. It was pretty nice. And I got extremely cold. I got these shivers that I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't get warm. And then later that night, the fever started. The cough didn't really begin until Monday. And at that point, I went to an outpatient clinic from a wonderful hospital in South Florida, and they tested me for influenza. I mean, they made sure that they were protected, and they sent me in a private room, of course, but they tested me for influenza because that's what it sounded like the symptoms were. When I tested negative for that, they waited for a coronavirus test. I got tested Monday at 11 o'clock. I found out midnight, super early on Thursday, late Wednesday. And that's when the symptoms really hit. It would start this, Scott, I would be real cold. And then I was like, oh no, here it comes. And then the fever would spike. I got a thermometer later on. I think I hit 102.5 was the highest. And then the coughing hit. I've got a phenomenal doctor, a brilliant guy. He was in conference with my mom all the time because she was my caregiver here. And immediately after I got tested, I went into quarantine, made sure I didn't get around anybody else, including her. And he said, listen, you got to sweat this out. Try not to have so much of a fever reducer. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to play one on the radio. But when I checked out of the clinic, they gave me an over-counter breathing mucus releaser. I don't want to give the name of it. But he said, if you get in trouble breathing, take this. And I did. And immediately I felt better. I would still cough, but it wasn't where I felt like I was suffocating. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, a little bit Thursday, Scott, is when the symptoms really hit. Again, I was trying to go cold turkey. I wasn't hungry. I had this thing called bone broth that really opened things up. And it's disgusting. It's the worst thing to taste in the world. But it really helped me. But there were three or four times I cried out to God and said, Lord, this thing is not letting me go. I need you. I can't breathe. And that part was a little scary, but there was great peace because I felt like God wasn't done with me yet. And even if he was, I knew I'd be going home. But I just said, Lord, you got something out of this, and I'm just going to trust in that. Once I wasn't scared a couple times, and I'm not this super Christian guy that goes, oh, no, I had faith the whole time. You know, I'm scared like everybody else. I just found out that this fear, I wasn't going to let it grab around my throat. I was just like trusting, and you know what? He's faithful.
Glad to hear that you've bounced back, John. I mean, that's got to be scary. We're talking to our friend John Brock today at SWS Radio. We're talking about coronavirus. He had it. He's bounced back. And God, what did you learn through this, John? I mean, it's scary sometimes when you feel like, ugh, my throat's all closed up. It's just like a claustrophobia sort of feeling. What do you do when you're in those situations so you don't get scared?
Well, again, I felt like there were three or four times I was drowning. That's really a good word for it. I just couldn't catch my breath. A couple times I was headed to the hospital and I just said, you know, I'm going to try this product. And I did. Within 20 minutes, I was fine. When people say, hey, you know, try and memorize the word, it's really going to help you. I remember our church went through a series from Philippians 4 this past fall called Anxious for Nothing. And I remember Paul is writing from a prison and he says, don't worry about anything or be anxious for nothing, which is crazy because he's like, he never knew when he was going to lose his life. He's in this horrible situation. And I remember going, God, I feel like I'm in this prison right now. I can't breathe. And he brought this idea of be anxious for nothing. Now, listen, every single one of us, no matter how deep your faith is, we get a little bit pushed to fear when we look around at everything that's happening with us. I get that. I know God gets that. You're not a bad Christian. You're not he's not mad at you because you have this fear. But his perfect love does cast it out. And when you look at Philippians 4, this is what got me through, Scott, was that when he says be anxious for nothing, what he's really saying is, look, don't let this angst, even if you say that word angst, it kind of gets caught in your throat. Don't let that choke you out. Don't let it dominate. Don't let the fear completely take over because there is faith. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks and tell God what you need. And then he says, peace will happen. And on the following end of that, then he goes on to add, okay, I'm not supposed to think about fear. I think about faith. This is what got me through. He said, fix your eyes on your mind, on the good, the pure, the honest, holy things. So I was in the midst of this going, God, I know you got a plan. I know you got a purpose. Even if it's in my death, I know you're going to work something out. And all these things kind of went through my mind. And that's what got me through in the midst of this. You know, fear gripped me. There's no question about it. I'm like, Lord, this thing has not let me out. But I know you're stronger. And I know you've got something bigger and better. And that's where I kind of hung out. And that's when a sort of flash went into my mind of, you know, in all the times of history of the church, whether it's persecution, whether it's plagues, cholera, whatever, the church has always exploded because they're the first ones on hand to help. And what kept coming into my mind was, a new day's coming. There's some great things that are going to happen as a result of this. I didn't cause this, but you watch. I'm going to turn things so that all eyes will be lifted to Jesus. And I've heard some things that you guys have done, some other stations and other ministries are doing, and God's opening up ways for people to connect with him because of the love of others like never before. So that's kind of where I hung out. It's a long preachy answer, but it's exactly where I needed to be because I was frightened like anybody else would be.
There's been so much anxiety in the air. Anytime you bring up the word COVID-19 or coronavirus, everybody just either wants to go, oh, it's like triggering me. But you know what? I'm talking to my friend John Brock today at SWS Radio. John, you had coronavirus. You've bounced back. And I know this is a sort of thing where it's a virus. There's not really a cure for viruses. There are things you can do to help the symptoms as you're going through it, but it's different than something like a bacterial infection or strep throat right. or ear infection where antibiotics work for those things. But when you're dealing with a virus, you sort of have to wait it out. What do the doctors tell you?
Well, that's exactly what they said to do, is just try and remain calm, limit the medicine that you do, especially the fever reducer. But I'll just tell you, those 3 or 4 key days that I stopped taking this breathing thing, even for an hour, that's when things got rough. And so the treatment was bone broth. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to play one on the radio, because your appetite pretty much goes away. Also want to say this, Scott, and I'm trying to be appropriate here on Christian radio, but I don't know where this run on toilet paper came. Toilet paper didn't have any factor in my disease whatsoever. And I've been kind of laughing about it. I'm like, listen, ministries are popping up left and right. And one of them may be, if you kind of overdid it on that, maybe knock on the door of a neighbor and go, hey, I got some extra. I want to hook you up, or, you know, try and, you know, do it safely, but love up on people. So again, my mom has been with me as the caregiver, and she is now, we are into week 3. She has not had a symptom. Why? Because she followed the guidelines that had been laid out and what my doctor had said. We had bleached everything. I stayed quarantined in the room. I had this bone broth and toast or whatever, and just had to wait it out the 3 or 4 really bad days. Now, given they were bad, but from start to finish, my symptoms were 11 days. And again, looking back that first week, I know it sounds irresponsible, but I actually had checked into the National Health Services in England, and they asked me a series of questions. It felt like I shouldn't be tested. Looking back, I had it, and I feel horrible about, you know, some of the people that could have been affected, but so far that I know of, nobody has been. And so my hope to you is, and the joy in the midst of all of this is, follow the guidelines. They absolutely work. It is not a death sentence for most people. Even one life lost is horrible, but follow what they say and you'll get through it. You know, you can actually limit, even if you had a family of 6 in a 2 or 3 bedroom house, you can still limit this. It doesn't have to be passed on if you're smart and follow the guidelines.
Well, we're talking to John Brock. He's a pastor of Tawas New Hope Church over in Michigan. Thanks for checking in with us and sharing a little bit of hope about all the uncertainty and anxiety that's in the air about coronavirus, John.
Yeah, Scott, I hate to go through this, but I've been able to share this just to let that fear be released. I think we're all going to feel it. We all have felt it. We're probably going to feel it even more with some more bad news that might be coming. But just don't let it choke out your life. Don't let it dominate you. Look to God. He delights to hear. You can thank him for what he's already done. We're seeing story after story about the virus is being wound up a little bit better than what some of the experts thought. I'm not saying go out and do whatever, but God is in control of all this. That I know. And in the end, there are going to be some great stories. And my encouragement to you is, in this time of being socially distant, you don't have to be distant socially. Maybe have a family reunion on a computer program and you're all together and doing that. Again, one of the great ideas that we're having up and down our street is people are putting green signs in the window so that once a day, somebody kind of goes down the street. And if somebody has a red sign up, then they know that there's some trouble, whether they need some groceries or need whatever. And we're reaching out to each other. I think that's a great way to get involved and help. There's so many creative things, again, because God not only wants us to live in peace, but he wants us as peculiar people, as followers of Jesus, to lead the charge in helping. And what better way to do that than reaching out to people and encouraging people, loving people. And again, also be a peacemaker, Scott. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of angry people. As more people are set in their homes, a little boredom gets in, some frustration, some anger. And as you see things happening on social media and some other areas, remember Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so use this as an opportunity to make peace and to encourage when you see the negative and you see all the stuff on the news, you know, try and do that as well. So there are a lot of great things that God is doing, and you get to be a part of it. You just have to have your eyes open and not let fear dominate your faith.
Well, thanks for sharing some hope with us, John. Appreciate you.
Is it okay if I pray for everybody? Would that be all right?
I would love that.
Man, Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters at SOS for the bright light that they are in what is a really dark world. And I'm asking you, Lord, first of all, protect each and every one of them as they are essential and encouraging each one of us. For Scott, his family, and everybody else at SOS, watch over. And for anybody listening, Lord, where fear is rampant, your perfect love casts out fear. It'd be a little ludicrous, Father, for us to say, we're not fearful at all. That doesn't help anything. But what it does help is to let each other know we are struggling, but we don't have to be anxious about it. We don't have to worry about it and let it dominate us. We can be really good instead of focusing on what your word is, because it's true, focusing on who you are. For somebody who has this disease, Lord, I would ask you to bring them through this with no symptoms. You have that power, and you have the power to stem the tide. So today we pray for our presidents, for our governors, for the national health workers, the local health departments that are inundated and they're doing the best they can. Lord, that we'd be peacemakers with them to encourage them. And for our doctors and for our nurses, those are on the front line. They're tired. They're worn out. They're doing the best they can. Would you fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that people would come around and encourage them in the midst of all this? You are going to have light in this dark world because of the power of Jesus, the cross, and the empty tomb. We celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.